and this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Town Hut! Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Lift, lift, let them step all change.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company Affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.
Hello. Radio.
Hello. Hello, this is Michelle with the Variety Radio Online. I'm very excited to bring to you guys tonight Zoe and Danielle. And they are the writer and producer of two wonderful independent films that are coming out that we're going to talk about. We have Raw Cut and Mining for Ruby. And so I'd like to welcome you guys to the show.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Thanks for having
Hey.
Me.
Hey. Thank you. First, for our fans and ones who may listen, is I'd like for you guys to tell us a little bit about each of you. I know that, Zoe, you're the producer, and you did some acting, and so I'd love to kind of talk about you tell us about your career and what made you transition into producing. And Daniel, I understand a little bit about dancing's in your background, and so maybe how
right.
you kind of moved into writing and the passion there. So love to have the fans understand who you guys are, which helps bring what you put into your movies.
Okay, that sounds great. But here's what's going to happen. I am going to tell you about Zoe just because I want to put her on the spot. And then maybe Zoe can tell you about me. We are married, and we started working together making movies a couple years ago. And Zoe actually is the director as well as a producer of both of the movies that we've done. Zoe, you know, came to Los Angeles and was acting and was, you know, on set and kind of fell in love, I think, with directing because, let's face it, you know, she's the boss. and we got together and two, I think, kindred spirit artists, and we started throwing around ideas. And actually, we met and I pitched Zoe a TV idea. And she asked me, she said, have you told anyone else about this idea? And I said, no. And she said, great, don't tell anybody. We're going to make it. So that's how we started working together. And then we were dating and got married, and we came up with this idea for a movie called Raw Cut on a trip that was that became our engagement trip, we just started making movies and writing and working on things ever since then. And so Zoe has been a director ever since then and has been working tirelessly on a couple projects and you know, much more.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, and then, Daniel, you know, this is different. I like it.
Yeah.
So, Daniel is of many things, a great writer, you know, and this is, you know, one of the many reasons that I fell in love with him is because he's a very talented, creative writer, and he wrote both Mining for Ruby and Raw Cut. He's written many other things that we hope to make as well. And as far as the dance world goes, he was in a film called Mona Lisa Smile with one Ms. Julia Roberts. He also did some dancing on the Academy Awards where he played the prince in Unchanted for a segment that they did the year that Unchanted was nominated for Best Song. And he runs a dance arts education program, which brings dance arts education to Santa Monica Malibu School District. And, you know, in between all that time, you know, he also, you know, stars in movies and does all of these. So yeah, you know, Daniel's great. I'm a big fan.
I have to say, I read the little bio about the dance, and then when I read about the schools, Daniel, that just it was very inspirational just reading about that, because I'm a 45-year-old and I'm I'm a little overweight, but I found this dance group that's women, and we actually compete in tap now. It's 40 and over ladies, and we inspire other people. And it's just when I saw you giving back to the schools, I just thought how much it has given me, even at my age, how much it can be given to the children. And so I connected with that when I read it, and I was just appreciate you giving back like that.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, and I was part of a dance program. I was part of a program in New York that was based on the movie
Mad Hot Ballroom.
Right, there's a movie called Mad Hot Ballroom about the program that teaches fifth grade kids how to ballroom dance, and I was teaching with that program for many years. I'm in that movie as well, and I moved to Los Angeles and. You know, I wasn't part of something like that again, and I felt like I had to do it again, so I started up an organization of my own, because once you get into that, once you get involved in teaching and teaching kids, and sort of especially, I think, dance, because kids go through such a change, especially, like, if you're dealing with fifth-grade kids, getting them to get into ballroom dance position face-to-face with each other, you know, in ballroom position, it's crazy. I mean, they just go, they hate it, you know, but
they hate it, but they love it
at the end, you know, and it's so important for them and it's so good for them. And it makes me feel like I'm part of something more than just the LA entertainment industry rat race. So thanks for mentioning that. It really is something I'm very proud of.
Well, thank you. The one thing I noticed as I, was watching and reading about you guys is that you both are very passionate. I think I feel that from what I've seen so far and listening to you guys, I feel you're very passionate about what you're doing. So I think what I'd like to do, I'm going to combine one question for both of the movies. I saw some sceneries for both of them and some beautiful scenery. So where were your filming locations for these two movies?
So the first one we shot each film respectively on location. The first one we shot on location in Dubois, Wyoming, nestled in the national park. And the second film we shot in the middle of Alaska in a city called Fairbanks, 100 miles south of the Arctic Circle. So both films really, really capture the location, get a sense of these grand places that we worked with two separate cinematographers, but both had, a very strong eye for capturing the natural beauty of the land.
And, when you talk about passion and, the thing is, Zoe directed both films with two different cinematographers, and when you look at them, the thing that she is eminently passionate about is, these are independent features. These are under $1 million movies, right? These are not major blockbuster studio pictures, but it doesn't matter to Zoe because she wants her movies to look as good as any movie out there, and better than any movie out there. And she has such an eye and a passion for the visual element of film. And really, that film is a visual medium, right? As our cinematographer said to us once, as we were in the car going out to location, he said, look, nobody cares about the words. They just care what it looks like. And I'm sitting right next to him, and I had to nod my head, and I was like, you know what, you're probably right about that. Like, because you want movies to look good. You want them to look epic and to feel
but
big.
And
story matters. But that's the thing about Zoe is that, like, it doesn't matter what the budget is. It doesn't matter what the constraints are. It doesn't matter if we're hiking up into a mountain and we have to track all of our gear, hundreds of pounds of gear. It's going to look good. And it doesn't matter if you're tired. Mm. You're going to get some makeup on, and you're going to look good in my shot.
Well, and Daniel, I think you're right, too. If you take a really good story, but then the lighting's terrible and everybody's sweating or it doesn't capture anything, then you do lose what the story really means. So I think the visual presence, we do react visually to most things in the world. And that's why I said both locations were beautiful. So I visually caught that pretty quickly. And, Zoe, you did an amazing job. I mean, you know, don't undersell the money value is because I think it looks amazing. So
thank you.
So let's talk about raw cut. Can you do me, let's do a favor and let's tell the fans what you would say a little bit about raw cut, what this movie is, if they're starting to download it or look at it or go to pull or go see it. What can you tell us about raw cut?
Okay, well, I mean, there's a few things. Like raw cut is the story of four friends who go on a weekend camping adventure in a cabin, and only one of them comes back. That's the story there, you know, shot in picturesque Wyoming. And it comes out August 5th on all platforms.
Okay.
It's a very Hitchcock neo-noir thriller. It's like a, you know, slow burn, suspenseful. It's been interesting, you know, hearing from people about it, because a lot of, you know, people who are thriller fans are
mm-hmm.
really, really resonating with the material. Like, because it harkens back to that time of, you know, just a very Alfred Hitchcock type of film. It's not a horror flick. It's not, you know, a slasher. It's just, you know, it takes the audience on a journey, you know, it's a slow burn, and then there's a good payoff at the end. Go ahead. I apologize.
No. I was going to say, you're absolutely right, because I'm sitting right in the middle of it. And I was like, okay, now I had to go back to work, and then I have to do my call with you guys. And I was like, okay, I've got to finish it. So I'm actually in the middle of that raw burn. The thing about I noticed, and I don't know if it's intentional, and Zoe, you being a female, is the females just resonate really strong. I keep coming back to the female characters, like, you know, and I don't know if it's just because it's the way it was written or if it's because the female, you know, you being a female presence, but the females just feel, I just feel very dominant with them in the storyline.
Yeah, I mean Daniel does an extraordinary job of making all of his characters real, giving them a strong, logical voice, you know, that you know, everyone exists for a reason, and their, you know, biography is true. Like, there's, you know, I could speculate, you know, why that is. Like, you know, I mean, you know, one is that, you know, Daniel is, you know, a very well-trained actor from New York, and, you know, and having it under, you know, coming from that background and, you know, being a very talented writer and being able to thoughtfully flesh out characters is something that's extremely good, you know. And, you know, there's this thing called the Bechdel test, and, you know,
But you know that the Bechdel test is, and we actually just found out about it after a couple of the movies were released. But it's a test that you can apply to any movie, and it was created by, I think, a woman named Bechdel, and it has to deal with the three specific criteria of your movie. You know, does your movie, number one, have two female characters who talk about something other than a man? And then number two, does your film have more than one female character? And number three, you know, of course I forgot the third one right now.
But without knowing this, Daniel wrote two screenplays. You know, we subsequently found out about that, and both screenplays pass that test, and surprisingly, large number of films that don't. You know, that even you know, you think like, oh well, that film probably does. Most of the time don't. And I think that he does a great job of capturing all humans' voices, and that's, you know, men and women, and I think that that's what really comes across.
Right. And I would agree. I mean, you built Jack, Adam, Amanda, and Stephanie's character really well. So you're intrigued, and you grasp each one of them. And it could be that I'm a female, and I was attracted to the personalities that Amanda and Stephanie have, which are, you know, very intelligent, strong women. But you're right. You built each character, Daniel, very well. I bought their stories very quickly and who they are as people.
Yeah. You know, George R. R. Martin, the guy who wrote the Game of Thrones series.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of the show Game of Thrones?
Just a little.
It's a little HBO show.
Just a little one.
And yeah. And so he was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him, "I'm always so amazed at how well you write your female characters. What do you attribute that to?" And George Martin said something like, "Well, I've always seen women as being human as well." You know,
right.
I think it's such a funny thing, but I think that, you know, but also here the thing is, you know, I'm married to a very, very beautiful, talented, and driven professional woman, and I don't know that I could write a script that didn't have an interesting female voice without it passing her test. Do you know what I mean? So I think that it's important when we, because, you know, we work on this together. You know, these ideas come from the both of us, and we bat them around until we have a pretty good idea, and then Zoe kind of shuts me in a room and makes me write for a while. but, you know, I can't come out with something that is derogatory towards women or you know, bad, because she's going to hold me to that, you know, and I appreciate that.
With Roll Cut having such a intense storyline, and as I know, it's going to be an intense ending, was there anything difficult about shooting this movie versus how it was written? You know, because obviously putting it in paper and getting to a suspenseful climax into the conclusion and then trying to pull that out behind the camera, what was the big challenge there?
I mean, you know, the challenges of this film weren't the translation of the material. Like, I think there was a very organic, you know, flow there. But, you know, there were a few technical challenges because, you know, we were, you know, shooting on a mountain. We had a lot of gear. You know, it was a physically demanding shoot. There wasn't a lot of time. And you know, and this is what this Raw Cut I consider to be my first feature film. You know, I mean, I had done something in the past, but I mean, this is, you know, from cradle to grave, Raw Cut is the, you know, my first distributed feature. And so there was a learning curve. Like, there was I had experience, you know, in the past producing other features. I've produced quite a bit. You know, I directed theater. I've been acting since I was 9. I've spent a lot of time on other people's sets. But, you know, when you're helming the show, there's things that come up that you don't know until you're there, you know, and a lot of those things, you know, can be resolved with time and money, and those were two things that we were a little thin on that project. So, you know, we had to, you know, on the fly, you know, creatively come up with solutions for things.
Such as when our sound man injured himself on location.
Right.
You know, I'm exaggerating things, but he fell off a mountain. and so that was pretty tricky and dealing, but you know, things like that. And you know, we shot the movie in 10 days.
In all fairness, he was drunk. Right?
In all fairness, he was a little drunk. But you know, we shot the movie in 10 days. We did it very quickly. We trucked everybody out onto location. After we tell the story to other filmmakers, they look at us and say, "You could have just shot it here in Los Angeles. You could have just shot it in the LA, you know, in the mountains up here." And then we, like, shake our heads and we say, yeah, we could have. But then when you take a look at the movie, you're like, oh, you know what? You really can't make Los Angeles look like Wyoming. You really can't make you can't capture what we capture with those mountains and that kind of scenery. You can't, you know. So we took the risk, and like Zoe said, you know, we learned, you know, that's the thing about it is we are learning every step of the way. And I think that, you know, in any profession, in anything that you do, you know, if you aren't learning and then taking a look back at what you've done and relearning through the lens of experience, then you're not, you know, you're not getting better. And in a way, you stopped being, you know, an artist or a craftsperson, and then you're just sort of doing it by the numbers. And our very first good lesson, what are the best lessons are the expensive ones. The best mistakes are the expensive mistakes because you don't want to repeat them, you know. So we learn, and we just try to get better from each one.
Thank you. 10 days, too. That's amazing. So I would like to have either one. It doesn't matter. Let's jump over to mine and for Ruby. First of all, let's talk about can you give us a recap of mine and for Ruby's storyline?
Yeah, sure. Mine and for Ruby is it's about an end of the rotor. You know, it's about a guy who lost everything. And decided to get away and run away from everything to the most remote place he could find. And he always used to go to Alaska with his family and decided to go back to Fairbanks. And he meets a woman here who is involved in an ecological waste controversy. She's a scientist up here, and she's got a lot of luggage and a lot of baggage up here that she needs to shed, and they both help each other find love and courage again.
Do you feel that... So there's a mixture of obviously the science and what's going on as the activist and what's going on in the river and what she's trying to discover, yeah. And with a mixture of rebuilding relationships and who they are as people.
Right, right. And, you know, it started off as an idea Zoe and I had about a guy, you know, again, like it started with a guy who's losing it all. And we came up to Alaska, and, you know, there's so much happening here in this state. I think as in the rest of the world where, you know, mineral resources are, you know, they're depleting. No matter what you got, if you're taking it out of the earth, there is a fixed point at which it's not going to be there any longer. And
right.
That's, you know, that's not a political statement. That's just a statement of fact. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what it is. So if you're in Alaska, you are coming up against a bunch of different industries that are dealing in, you know, with the environment. You're mining for things. You're drilling for things. You're blasting, you know, stone and rock out of the way to extract minerals. And there's a lot of stuff that's happening in real time here, and we really kind of looked to a lot of the sort of current event stories and pulled a lot of stories from there to really drive home this idea of toxicity.
Like it's Law and Order, ripped from the headlines.
Ripped from the headlines, like Law and Order. You know, it's the toxicity of a man, you know, who's drinking himself to death, and it's the toxicity of an environment that's being polluted, and we came up with a story that we wrapped up in a nice little love story so that everybody gets happy.
That has a happy ending. Or does it? You have to see it.
Or does it, yes.
and versus
so
what?
And that's out video on demand, iTunes,
right.
August 1st.
August 1st, yeah.
You know, it is funny that we talk about what environmentally that we're affecting, and I'm in Georgia, and as I don't know if you've heard, we have two Ebola patients headed to Georgia to our CDC.
Wow.
So it's just coming.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all over the news today. So it's just, it kind of, I know it's two different issues, but it's still kind of just what we are affected with, you know, in our world and how things are changing.
It's coming out
and
from
I think
every
we,
side.
Right, right. And because we started to mention that right before the show, is, you know, talking about how the environment, even in San Diego, felt different. And, you know, I think that our world is changing and we have to be conscious of that. And it kind of comes back to that passion, too, of who we are as humans to be conscious of it. So now, with Mining for Ruby, you have a bigger cast. and I'm assuming you face different challenges here. So let's talk about, you know, with the bigger cast and your setting up in Alaska, what were some of the things that you found a little bit more challenging as you had something already under your belt now? And, again, a bigger team here.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, on Rock Hut, we learned so much. It was sort of like, a master's class and filmmaking. And in that, you know, we had this completed film that we're very proud of, and we took it to the American Film Market. And the question that people asked, first question was, who's in it? And, you know, both Daniel and I are in Raw Cut, and we would have to tell these producers and these sales agents, nobody's in it, because what they're asking is they don't want to know who's in it. They want to know who's in it, like who's famous in it, right? Like who's in it that they know? And we had to say nobody. And so we knew that for the next one, we would have to, get people that in it that people know and love.
Some juicy names.
Get some juicy names. And, you know, I've been, you know, a fan of Billy Zane's for a long time. You know, Jonathan Bennett, he's, you know, just this great character actor. He was, you know, Mean Girls and Van Wilder. And, you know, Misha Barton, ever since she was, you know, a child in The Sixth Sense. You know what I mean? And you know, and our casting director was somehow able to pull a miracle and get all of these actors in the film. And I just the challenges that come with with having these bigger names is that there's different provisions, like for us when we were doing it, we were able to sleep on couches and things like that.
For Rock Hut,
it's a proper film. And so I wouldn't say it was just challenges. It's just a different scale. Daniel wrote this script. Our casting director was able to get it out to the actors who really resonated with the material for different ways. Billy Zane is very passionate about the environment and environmental causes. Misha Barton is involved in, mental health issues, and she's an advocate for, bringing attention to things like that, and she was very passionate about the material. Jonathan Bennett is just awesome.
Jonathan Bennett was just in it for the party.
He
was a total pro and great on set. And I think the thing is, it's not that we want to just get names in it. We want to get the most talented people that we can find
that were right for the part.
We got a great casting director that Billy's worked with in the past who got the material to them, and we were really, really lucky to get these people who are beyond the fact that the name brand is so high and deservedly so. They're really, really talented actors, and that's what we got. And we're just, blown away.
And there's one person also that I want to mention. She's a woman. Her name is Carrie Baker, and she was a local actress that we hired out of Fairbanks, Alaska. And, man, she came from, New York, studying in Los Angeles, and she ended up, for some reason, as a professor at the university here in Alaska, and through a series of, connections, she ended up auditioning for the film, and we were blown away.
Wow.
It was a godsend, because we really needed a strong actress for this role, and there she was. Just really lucky. So that's a consideration with these bigger movies too, is that the casting, you have more roles to cast. I had a bigger vision for this film. Like, I wanted to do more. So, it involved, some more expensive film equipment. It involved, more shooting days, all of these things, dealing with these logistics, company moves. I had a vision for how that film was going to end, and so that involved a major company move, and I don't want to ruin it, but so when you guys see it, you'll be like, oh, They started in Fairbanks, and then there's a company move at the end. So, and, yeah, so there's, you know, that was, like, I would say the biggest, you know, thing. It's just the scope and scale. And you know, the next one's only going to get bigger. So I'm excited to talk to you after that and let you know what things happen there.
No, it is exciting seeing the difference between the two for you guys and as you're growing as a team. And I think it's also that, you know, it's a beautiful that you guys have such a beautiful relationship to grow the writing and to producing and directing together. I think that's amazing. And
yeah,
we're very excited. Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
No, I'm just going to say, I'm very lucky and, you know, I feel like I cheated the Hollywood code by marrying, you know, well, but I'll take it.
Oh, me too.
No, we're very excited, and we'll post the interview. We'll also put clips with the trailers and anything that you release that we can tag to for listeners to click
Excellent.
On. We'll put it with it whatever we can. If you'll state where they can tune into both of them, and if you have social media or anything that you also want to add to that, if you don't mind, just telling our listeners again where they can. Watch the movies.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michelle, for having us. You know, both our films are coming out, as we mentioned today, on iTunes. Video on Demand is Mining for Ruby. And on August 5th is Raw Cut. So sort of, you know, kind of capturing all listeners. Like if you're looking to have a nice, you know, romantic night in, maybe Mining for Ruby is your cup of tea, and if you want to, you know, maybe, you know, have a
seat,
you know, Raw Cut. And, you know, we are Lock and Monkey Productions, LOCK
yeah.
and MONKEY.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we're on Twitter, and we're on Facebook, and we're on the World Wide Web. So, you know, you can check out all those places and see what we're up to.
No, thank you both so much for your time. Enjoy your stay up in Alaska. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate you sharing both of these films with our fans and listeners. And we hope to be able to support you guys as much as we can in the future also.
Great. Thanks again, Michelle.
Thank you very much. It was really a pleasure.
Thanks. You guys have a good evening.
Take care.
Bye.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a different
And this is my impression of a politician. I believe in the people and their cars and Progressive and the fact that you, yes, you can plug in Snapshot to save even more money for being a good driver. I also believe in Sasquatch, but more as a joke, but also kind of seriously.
Safe drivers save with Snapshot from Progressive.
I approve of this message, and Sasquatch, if you are real, you can totally be my running mate.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Snapshot not available in all states.